From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
We made it. Another week in Trump 2.0 is in the books. Happy Friday, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I'm really excited to share with all of you that my colleague in both the law and broadcasting, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, James Santel, will be joining me with some regularity.
Yes.
And so welcome, Jim, to the Maggie Dawn Show. Glad to have you here.
Maggie, what a great honor. What a delight to be with you, my friend, my colleague, and just thrilled to talk with you about these important issues of the day as they break every single day,
as
do they not,
break.
My friend?
Yeah. Right. So if you're just joining us, let's hop right in with some of the news, national news of the day. We had a jobs report out this morning, much anticipated, and I was really looking forward to it as an economist because jobs reports are backward looking and they're point in time. They're done largely by a survey. This survey was conducted a while ago. Then they have to crunch the numbers, and then the job reports comes out some weeks later.
And they revise them, yes? Is
and
that
then,
right?
And then
right.
It's basically like a trailing observation, and then like today's jobs report announcement will get revised in another quarter as they continue to collect data. But most importantly about jobs reports, they are backward-looking. It's not like looking at what the stock market is doing, which is an instant reflection of what is happening.
A snapshot. That's not this.
Today. No. The jobs report, backward looking. So for the last 2 weeks, as the Trump tariff terror has been tanking and destabilizing the global economy and turning what was an economy that was the envy of the world, if it wasn't reaching into regular folks' pocketbooks yet, and people were still rightfully so concerned about prices from housing to gas to childcare and eggs, of course.
Yes, yes.
For the last 2 weeks, especially within the last week, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Howard Lutnick, over and over and over again, keep saying, this is the Biden economy, this is the Biden economy.
This Look at
is
this
the
terrible thing I inherited,
yes,
right?
Which is a lie.
It is.
And then all of a sudden today, the White House is like, look at these great jobs numbers. We're doing fabulously.
Jim, and we're responsible for all of that now, right?
Yes. So they talk out of both sides of their mouths all the time. This one just stood out to me. And again, the actual job numbers is plus 170,000 jobs. It's a positive number, but not all that great. So it's a fine number. Right. And I'm glad it's not a worse number.
Right. But it's not knock your socks off, right?
Correct.
It's not at that level.
So anyways, I just wanted to get your thoughts, Jim. This sort of double talk, it speaks to me of a problem that has occurred in presidential cycling for a long time, which is Republicans come in and put in rich people-friendly economic policy. It indeed makes wealth inequality worse. Wages don't go up much in a real wage growth sense. They screw it all up. They give out trillions of dollars in tax cuts to people that don't need them. And then a Democrat comes in, takes a bunch of flack, fixes it.
Cleans it all up.
And then
rinse,
wash, and repeat.
Right,
is this more of the same in your view?
It is, absolutely. And again, Maggie, you, between the two of us, you're the numbers person. You are the economist. That's not me. But I always understood that the notion of assigning responsibility, even don't know if you go with me on this, but even for an entire term of a presidency, can't be completely attributed in the moment to that president, right? You are necessarily inheriting years and years of history and years of movement and change and worldwide economic, macroeconomics, microeconomics. And yes, probably over several years, you can be take some responsibility or some blame or some joy about what you have done. But that notion of an instant success, and especially, Maggie, as you've identified here, the notion that probably I can look at my watch and look at another day and another economic forecast or report.
And they'll disclaim responsibility.
48 hours ago, we were fascinated and obsessed by Joe Biden and how terrible his economy was. On January 20th, I came in and suddenly it began to move in the right direction. And finally, although it was bad for a long period of time, now I've resurrected all that in 100 days. Again, not an economist here. My sense is that just as a pure mathematical and economic notion is incredible. You can certainly have a dramatic impact negatively, as we have seen.
Yeah,
right?
It's the way that I like to explain this to people is, in general, it is absolutely the case that an individual administration cannot an economy
right.
make better unilateral. It's very difficult, right? You need steady growth, but not too hot growth, because then you get too much inflation.
Right.
There are global events, whether it's Russia invading Ukraine, disrupting the worldwide supply of oil,
COVID.
There are things that a single administration cannot control. The inverse, and what we're experiencing now, is that you can break an economy single-handedly. And Donald Trump has been, he's the best at very few things, but he is the best at tanking the U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. And you just need to look at the fact that many businesses, lots of Wall Street banks, are now hedging analyses and forecasts or not even producing forecasts at all. I've listened to a couple of shareholder calls. They're fascinating because it's kind of like, well, we don't know. And what happens when businesses don't know is they don't invest.
Right.
Right. Right. Where you're talking about capital, infrastructure, job retraining, job upscaling, R&D, they tend to hoard cash and sit on it because they're perceiving risk in the uncertainty. So I just wanted to start everybody with the...
Right.
Boy, yesterday, it's all Joe Biden's fault. Today, boy, aren't we great.
Aren't we good? What we have done in 100 days. And to your point, Maggie, again, about that notion of stability, the whole concept here is that if you tell the world, which does have these dramatic and traumatic things that happen along the way that are unpredictable.
Yes.
But if you've got a certain sense that, okay, we're for the most part on the straight and narrow when it comes to fundamental economic policy.
Well, that's gone, right?
And
I've made this point, Jim, that you're making here as well. On nearly every conceivable policy front, where we're talking about foreign policy, whether we're talking about domestic economics, global economics, whatever it may be, to negotiate, to be a deal maker, the person sitting on the other side of the table with you has to actually believe what you're telling them is reliable. Nothing about this administration is reliable.
Right.
And so you're seeing chaos everywhere.
Right. And they have no predictability then, because I can't count on you, the promise that you may make today across the table.
Correct.
I may think the
smile
is nice.
There's no deal to be had.
The eyes are twinkling, but there's no deal to be had. And because of that, I may be risk averse more than I otherwise would be in the economy. And when something bad does come along, I think I can't rely upon Jim or Maggie to be there for me. It's that complete uncertainty that you're establishing. And that's what he's done.
It also creates what I'm going to call increased risk and downside perception.
Hmm.
Because when everything is so uncertain, when the government of the United States is a completely unreliable, not a good faith actor in any way, shape, or form, again, business risk tolerance goes way down, and it tends to actually go down more than a pure analytical exercise would require, because we're emotional and CEOs are emotional. We're human beings. So again, all of this winding up to, frankly, by the end of May, pack quite a punch. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, It's not the biggest businesses in the world that will really feel pain. They'll feel some pain.
And they can survive.
But they will survive. It is the small businesses, the businesses on thin margins, just like families that are living close to the edge, that will get pushed over, and there'll be only one person to blame for that. His name is Donald J. Trump. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, joined in this first hour by former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're reviewing the news of the day. We've got Chris from Sun Prairie on the text line saying people need to start calling out Donald Trump for not being a Republican. He doesn't follow any of their beliefs or policy positions. Yes, there is no Republican in the Republican Party. It's just MAGA.
Absolutely. And again, all those principles that you and I grew up on thinking, we have a general sense they're sometimes wrong about what Democrats are about, Republicans are about. The Democrats, again, have their own challenges these days in terms of messaging and even moving forward. But the Republicans were always the party of, number one, sound law enforcement, stability overseas, that those autocracies around the world, they were our enemies, fiscal conservatism, all those kinds of things. None of that anymore.
Gone.
It's all erratic.
Of it gone.
It's all gone. It's all erratic. And it changes from day to day. The affiliations change from day to day. No ability to count on any of it anymore.
Unrecognizable. We got Jack from Racine. Jack, say hello to Jim. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hey, Jim. Hello. I love your political economic discussion. I agree with what you're saying. And I think it's perhaps far worse than most people are thinking, because we've got, I've been listening to some economists talking about the realignment taking place in the world order, both economically and politically, which it isn't just going to be like, oh, we're going to have a recession. Things might get kind of slow for 2 years and then we're going to move on. That we're talking about very much a multi-year situation that Trump is setting up for us with all the negative things he's doing for the economy and politically.
I think you cut out there a little bit, Jack. I completely agree with you. These issue areas intersect and talk to one another. Foreign policy destabilizing, the abandonment of the Western alliance and NATO, the abandonment of any sort of sound or rational approach to the U.S. economy, those things are intersecting and creating, exacerbating the uncertainty that we've been talking about.
Absolutely. Maggie, a long time ago, you and I talked about the reason why you have courts in a state, in a nation. And yes, it's for law and order and safety and security, all those things that you and I have been about in our careers. It's also to send the message that if you come to Wisconsin or New York or the United States, you can rely upon a court system that will enforce what? Contracts.
Yes.
Basic understandings about economies and how people interact with each other at, again, the micro level, the macro level, all those kinds of things. That encourages economies. When you're also destabilizing the rule of law, arresting judges, you are criticizing judges, you're asking for their impeachment, it has an impact. To your point about the interrelationship of all this, it has an impact upon the economy and the way in which the country should be growing. Just the opposite of what you want.
Absolutely. That's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. I'm Maggie Dawn. Here's a little nerd factoid for you. Do you know which course in law school counts for the most credit? It's property. And why is property the most heavily weighted course in all of law school, no matter what law school you go to? Because at the root of every democracy is the establishment of the rule of law so as to acknowledge private property rights and ultimately contracts. We're losing our grip on that, along with our democracy and a stable global economy and foreign policy. We're going to take care of a couple of messages. We'll continue with today's breaking news with Jim Santel and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.